Well, this is Joe Benson here in the KLOS Local Music Show. Tonight we're talking with the Blasters, and we got Dave and Phil in the studio with us here.
Welcome Yellow to KLOS. Los Angeles.
It was one of those. Well, welcome to the place here. You got a brand new record out, and it's called, quite appropriately, The Blasters.
Blasters.
Before we get into some more into it here, let me just clarify something. You had another album out before.
On the Rolling Rock label. Which was a small rockabilly label out in the valley that has Ray Campy and Matt Curtis and Charlie Feathers and Jimmy Lee Maislin. Plug, plug, plug.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we put a record out there about a year and a half ago. And
did really good press and everything.
Yeah, we pressed up about 4,000, and mainly for promotion, and then we left the label for various reasons.
Mainly for promotion.
Does this album, the new one, differ to a large degree from the other?
There are three songs that are the same from the other one because nobody could hear Marie American Music and Never No More Blues, a Jimmie Rodgers tune.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, old Jimmy, singing Brakeman, not Honeycomb or Chicago Bound.
It's different because it sounds better. I mean, the sound quality itself is better, more up to date. Ronnie Weiser, who runs Rolling Rock, his aesthetic is more like, let's recreate it, the actual 50s sound, the semi-mono type sound.
But we play 20s music.
So the record had a real thin, the Rolling Rock record had a real thin sound. This one you can actually hear the drums and the bass and guitars and everything.
The old record is a nice thing for what it is. It's an interesting thing to listen to.
Probably going to be worth vast quantities of money pretty soon.
Yeah, well, we decided, what the hell?
We heard you first record that's played on a radio station, so we figured we better make them so that they will.
It was a rumor we heard.
A song off the first album, and it's also on this one, Marie, that did quite well for you overseas.
Yeah. Yeah, it got covered by a guy named Shakin' Stevens, and it went like to number 15 or something in England.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I got... at home, I have a collection called Round the World with Marie, which is all the, it's the English versions. There's like three English versions, two German versions, two Dutch versions, two French versions, and I just got a Swedish version. I have a version by Slim Whitman's kid. I have a version, I have a live version by 2020, and I have... I think that about wraps it up. There's more coming.
Well, it's, yeah.
And so it's like always fun.
The discography's available, right?
Yeah.
The Blasters.
So I've always wanted, like, whenever I do, like, university radio shows or something, where it's real free form, you can play anything. I've always, like, just wanted to do an hour of all the Marie Maries. Let's drive everybody out of their brain.
Yeah.
Let's check this out from the album. This is Marie Marie, The Blasters.
Oh, this might do it right here.
This could be it.
Marie Marie.
Okay, that was Marie Marie, the Blasters, here in the KLOS Local Music Show. This is Joe Benson. We were mentioning before, the label you're with before, you referred to them as having rockabilly acts and whatnot. And there's been, I don't want to say there's a rockabilly revival, but I just did, so I won't be able to get out of that. There are a lot of acts around. There seems to be a growing trend in that direction, that are stressing rockabilly with the stand-up acoustic bass.
Yeah.
And the Rock Cats.
I think Rock Cats, Stray Cats, Blue Cats, Pole Cats.
A lot of cat bands.
Yeah, a lot of cat bands.
You don't have a cat in your name. But no, there's
Blasto
a
Cat.
We don't play like that. And that's the point I was bringing up. I suppose they're going for the
Well, the big difference is
we're not
like,
a rockabilly band.
Well, we don't consider ourselves in that sort of thing. Like the cat bands and those things are rockabilly bands in the sense that they have the stand-up bass and they tend more towards the glamorous side than the musical side. I'm not putting them down. It's just you know, it's just the case.
Mm-hmm.
And they you know, make out their sole influence to be rockabilly, whereas ours, rockabilly is one of our influences. It's a big, you know, it's
the
it's
only
a
reason
big
that we
influence.
Can play rockabilly is because we know how to play blues and the things that stuff is made from. Rockabilly is not really a functional word. It never really existed. You know, it's white guys playing a black-oriented rhythm songs, but with melodies sometimes and words and images that are more attuned to their own environment, not copying some black man's passion, even though most of a great deal of the early records are just that. Elvis Presley records and things like that. Like That's All Right Now, Mama, flipped over by Blue Moon.
Which is
Arthur
the bluegrass
song.
Which is in Blue Moon of Kentucky's a Bill Monroe.
Well, let's not go into it.
That's probably something, though, that most
this
people...
This is the feuding Alvin brothers here.
Richard Dawson is going to be in a moment.
Is he really?
But this is something that I imagine most people, and a lot of those that are really getting into finally appreciating a rockabilly, quote-unquote, don't realize.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about the rockabilly revival, the good thing about the Stray Cats bands and all that, is one of the things that at least I want to get across in the Blasters, I don't know about everybody else, is just the fact of if you live in Sylmar or Salinas or St. Louis or something, I'm not putting down English bands, I'm just saying English bands are good and well and fine. The good thing about the English bands like the Specials and people like that is they write about their own experience. And then all of a sudden, you know, using a, you know, musical form that's a little bit alien, but I mean it's more of an
English
form.
There's at least Jamaican ghettos.
Yeah, in England.
There are very few southern black ghettos in England.
Very few.
And there's very few Jamaican ghettos in Salinas. And the thing that I'd like to push is just, you know, if you live in the United States, you should, you know, write your songs, your original songs should be dealing with your own experience here instead of walking around copying English bands, because the best English bands, you know, like I said, write about their own experience. They got bands like, pardon me, X and, you know, the Cramps and people like that. And even they do that. You know, I mean, they're good American bands because they write about their experiences in Los Angeles or, you know, wherever. And that's, you know, that's that.
You've got a number of songs on this album, and I know your live performance, you have a lot of them too, you do, where they're covers of something somebody had done before. They're really classic covers, but it's kind of wondering, where did you come up with Little Willie John?
Anna Statman gave me that record.
Thank
you, Anna.
Another one is Sonny Land Slim, who's on there, and you mentioned Jimmy Rogers.
I found that
people.
Record myself, yeah. I found, well, we've been finding records since we were kids. I mean, when I was by 15 or 16, I didn't buy new albums ever. I went to thrift stores and bought better records for a quarter. You know?
There's one song you've got, of the covers you've done on there, there's also a Bo Diddley song, I Love You So. Is there any one in particular that you like that you thought turned out real well on the album?
Of the cover songs?
Yeah.
Highway 61.
Highway 61's real good.
And I'm Shaking's pretty good.
Sonnyland Slim. Why don't we check that out from the album? Highway 61.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. Great, play
this
that.
Blasters in the KLOS Local Music Show. That was Highway 61, Old Sunnyland Slim song off the Blasters' new album here in the KLOS Local Music Show. You got a couple sax players, though, yeah. At least.
Lee Allen and Steve Bruin.
Where did you come up with them? What's the story?
Well, to start, Steve Berlin plays in a couple local bands. He plays in Top Jimmy and the Rhythm Pigs. And
he always come up and play.
He played with me in the Flesh Eaters, and he plays with Fast Freddy. Mm-hmm. And then Phil can do Lee Allen.
I can do
Lee sounds something like this.
No. Steve Berlin sounds something like, hey, baby.
Hey, baby. Lee Allen was the premier New Orleans sax player from the late 40s, early 50s. Well, always. I mean, that's when he was a very young man in the late 40s, played with Professor Long here, did all of Fats Domino's stuff, all of Little Richard's things. Mm-hmm. He and King Curtis were the most recorded sax players of the 40s, 50s, and I don't know about the 60s on that.
Do you occasionally have these guys sit in with you?
Yeah. See, Lee Allen, when we were like 17 years old and stuff, we used to teach us how to play. We'd go out to their place, and Leon T-Bone Walker and Big Joe Turner and all those guys come down, and to this lady Mary Franklin, who was our manager, was friends with all those guys, and they were in our band, you know, would teach us how to play.
This is not the Blasters we're referring to. This is earlier band.
Guys that are all in the Blasters, though. I mean,
you've added an official member to the band. One of the first times I saw you, he came up on stage and played Gene Taylor. On keyboards.
Yeah. And
what's the story behind Gene?
Well,
he's got a great picture on the album. Yeah. Standing in the middle of a swimming pool.
there's a real good shot that we didn't use of him flying off the diving board into the pool.
You can see his face with his sunglasses on.
Yeah, he grew up in the Norwalk Downey area like all of us, and he spent like half his time in Fort Worth, Texas too, and he's been like he played with Canned Heat in. Was he about 74 to 76?
He played then, with all of us before that. Most of what they call rockabilly, what I learned of what was called rockabilly was from him, pretty much.
He worked with Ronnie Hawkins
He's worked with Ronnie Hawkins last year.
Gene was brought up by this guy who was one of Bob Wills' guitar players, his best friend's father and all this stuff. Uh-huh. And Gene would be playing the greatest boogie-woogie piano in the world, you know, and he'd meet Lux Lewis and Cow Davenport and all these guys. And then at the same time, he'd turn around and do a Johnny Horton song or something, you know.
One song that he really kicks out on the album.
No
Other Girl.
Yeah.
This is the Blasters and the KLOS Local Music Show.
Waiting on that cafe, drunk half out of my mind. Down to my last cigarette, trying to kill some time. Another girl's place. Sit on that when I open the door. She can see by the look on my face. Waiting for me. She's waiting for me. No other girl could take it. Another girl just give in. Another girl throw me out on the street. No other girl would take me back again. Tucker takes his hat off. He likes his coffee black. Soon I have to face the fact. She knows that I'll be back. The busboy speaks in Spanish. The waitress checks her hair. I've been so many nights on the town. She's always been there. Waiting for me. She's waiting for me. No other girl could take it. Another girl just give in. Another girl throw me out on the street. No other girl would take me back again. Thank you.
No Other Girl, the Blasters, from their new album here in the KLOS Local Music Show. This is Benson. We've got Phil and Dave in the room here with us. Dave, you wrote that song,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah.
You wrote quite a bit of stuff on the album.
Yeah. We like to balance everything because, you know, part of the problem is that with a lot of the new rockabilly or roots bands or blues bands or things like that is they don't really concentrate on original material.
Mm-hmm. Serious original material.
Yeah, and if they do, if they do write their own originals, it's along the lines of, you know, mama, baby, you know, it's either
or they change a word in another song,
yeah, song
and then
yeah.
write their name on it,
but,
and then have to wait until somebody who they know will never hear the record sues them.
Yeah.
Right?
And
kinda
so
like the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. Really. Most bands, you know, they just especially in the rockabilly field, they tend to do all the Eddie Cochran songs, all the Gene Vincent songs, all the Elvis songs, and they're great songs, but my God, you know, how many times can you hear them? It's like, mm-hmm. you know, play something else. And so to be important and to be something different, you have to write original tunes and make them, you know, somewhat mature, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean. And
do you have a process you go through when you're writing songs? The words come to you first, or you just pick up a riff?
Melodies. The melody comes first, and then you fit in the lyrics to the melody, you know, or you fit the melody to the lyrics. But yeah, it's usually the melody first. You drive around in your car, listen to KLOS, and you're going to.
He gets in a pink Cadillac and he combs his ducktails and then he puts his black slacks on and goes out and looks for some pedal pushing mamas.
Yeah. And
is that the story?
That's basically it. Yeah.
Is there a specific story behind American Music?
It just kind of like sums up what the band plays, because people say, "Oh, are you a rockabilly band? Are you a blues band? Are you what? You know, what kind of music do you play?" Well, we play American music. You know.
See, we're trying. I started right from the first time before we ever put anything down on record. Mm-hmm. Was I was trying to say. Because I heard about this rockabilly thing, and seeing these guys, no, we don't play that stuff. We play American music.
Yeah, American.
Yeah, a little bit of rockabilly.
Well, you a soldier boy on team in West Berlin. No music, yeah, that rocks just 1,000 violins. They want to hear some American music. They want to hear that sound that falls the USA. Well, it could be sweet and lovely. It could be hard mean. One thing's for show. It's always on the beam. They want to hear some American music. American music. They want to hear that sound that bugs the USA. Well, it's a howl from the desert, a scream from the slums, the Mississippi rolling to the beat of the drums. They want to hear some American music. American music. They want to hear that sound that bugs the USA. We got jazz, country, western, and Chicago blues. It's the greatest music that you ever knew. It's American music. It's American music. It's American music. It's the craziest sound right from the USA. Well, you a soldier boy has to stop right in his tracks. When he hears a crazy beat, he turns the doubles back, because they're playing American music. American music. How the whole world digs that sound from the USA.
That's American Music, the Blasters, here in the KLOS Local Music Show. This is Benson with you. The first gig I did with you, the first time I saw you, was down at the Starwood a number of months ago. I hadn't danced that much for that long.
Really?
And it was just like, you couldn't stop. And it wasn't drugs or anything of that. In the wrong income bracket for that. But the show, you really get things popping. And you've toured now. You've been through parts of Europe, haven't you?
No, we haven't done Europe yet. We've done all of the U.S. now, except the Pacific Northwest.
More than once through the U.S.
You don't have to buy Blaster
imports. We've been to the East Coast twice, and we've been to the South once. So we're doing some dates with George Thorogood and some dates with the Go-Go's. And some, you know, headlining dates. Then after that, we go down south. We get back here on December 15th. We got a couple weeks off. And then hopefully Rough Trade's putting the album out in England, from what I believe the album is a single. And then we go over to England in January.
How were you received out in the East Coast, in the Midwest?
I heard, great, you know.
It's the biggest surprise to me. I figured down south, and in the Midwest there'd be backlash. Mm-hmm. Being that, see, the, another thing about this guy, that music, you know, people say you play old music, you know, it's old stuff. That music has pretty much still existed in bars and things, not the Hollywood scene in the press and things.
Yeah.
And we weren't in the Hollywood scene in the press, so we learned how to play it by playing in bars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that way all across the United States, and they've been playing that way. So I thought there'd be a backlash down south, you know, like, hey, my dad plays like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, none of it. Everywhere.
Yeah. Well, when we were in Austin, Texas, and there's this real good band on there called the Leroy Brothers, and they came up to me at this club they were playing at, and they go, well, where do you get off playing music like that? Come from California. And yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, well, you know, man, you know. And then, so the first song of their set
it was
a song called Boss by the Rumblers
on the Downey label,
which was recorded in Downey by a Downey band in the early 60s on the Downey label, recorded at the Wenzel's Music Town on Lakewood Boulevard in Downey. And so they start their set with that. So I just stood up and I was going, you know, blah, 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 you, blah, blah, Texans, you, blah, you know, that's a California song from Downey, California.
Eddie Cochran's, all his formative years are in Bell Gardens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, Eddie Cochran, yeah, he made his first records.
Bell Gardens, soulful place.
Yeah. his first records, Eddie Cochran's first records were made in the back of a music store on Gage Avenue in Bell Gardens.
With all your touring about and all that, your situation has changed somewhat here in L.A. You've played clubs for a long time. That's where you start, and that's where you actually got a feel for what people were doing and what got them moving. Now it's changed the situation where you're actually a concert band and you come back.
Every now and then.
Engagements.
Yeah. Well,
does it feel different?
Oh, we did the thing with Queen.
Got the same amount of money.
You know? Actually, you get more money at the Whiskey Go-Go than you do opening for Queen.
Yeah.
But, it's like we did the thing with Queen a year ago, and that was like, you know, like an intense learning experience, because all of a sudden you go from playing, you know, the Club 88 or the Whiskey Go or even the Starwood, and you used to walk into the Starwood and go, man, it's immense, this is huge. The next thing you know, you're playing the Forum with Queen. It's like, you know, 17,000 people. It's like, uh-oh.
They hate you.
Yeah, no.
They hate you, and they don't like that funny looking thing on your head.
Yeah.
Because they're used to look like that.
So the thing about concerts that's different from clubs is when you play the Forum, you know, and everybody thinks, you know, everybody come up to me after we played the Forum or, you know, the whole Queen tour, and they go, isn't it loud on stage? No, it's louder at the Whiskey A Go-Go, you know, because all the big speakers in front of you can only see like 3 or 4 or 5 rows of people. Everything else is just black, you know.
It's much easier to play in those places.
Yeah, it's air conditioned.
I mean, I wasn't even working. I guess it's just, it wasn't
it's
really.
It's true, yeah.
It's just like a breeze, you know, nice pitch on mix on stage and everything. But, I mean, there's tensions that make it harder to play.
Because there's 5 of you versus 17,000 of them.
17,000, yeah. You have to get in a fight, you know, with the Starwood, and maybe run through 300 people.
Lift up the shade. Let's see the light. We came this far. Honey, let's see the sights. Hold me close, don't try to fight. Let's work up a sweat on a summer night. Rocking in a Hollywood bed. What's that you say? You got a rich old man. I live on the streets, doing the best I can. Now he can call his friend, he can raise a fuss, he can call the cops, but he won't find us. Rocking in a Hollywood bed.
could waste an odd time, but it sure feels good. Hey, hey, rocking in a Hollywood bed.
Guys plugged away for a long time here in town before things really started to happen.
Yeah, longer time than that too. We're in another town.
Was there ever a time when you thought, God, is this worth it?
Right now.
You get those feelings like when you're sitting in a motel room or if you do a gig opening and you're the beginning band on a bill of four bands or something, mm-hmm. and the audience just kind of stands there and stares. But no, it's like when you start a band and everybody says, well, we're gonna make it somehow. It's like you don't worry that much because you know no matter what happens, you know, mm-hmm. that you're gonna do it.
Well, if you start a band, say we're gonna make it somehow, then I think things fall apart. The Blasters started the band because we like to play like this.
Well, yeah.
And that's what we were going to do now. Mm-hmm. And you can live the life of a musician in Hollywood, not on radio stations, mm-hmm. out in the world.
In the streets.
And you can do that. Yeah. And you can have experiences and play music and affect people and stuff like that.
Meet
so
girls.
That's, well, you know, we were doing that. But we wanted to come play in Hollywood too, you know, mm-hmm. and see what went on there. And when we finally did, things went good, and that was like great, and that increased the thing, you know.
Yeah, part of the attitude when we started was just, or I think the main attitude was, if we can make money playing the music we want to play, great.
Now that hasn't come true yet.
You got any advice for local bands that might be out there?
Yes, you have to keep playing.
Keep playing.
Keep playing. Yeah.
What else can you do? If you stop playing, then you can't. Mm-hmm. And if you keep playing, then you might, you know.
Yeah. Some real good advice is get to be openers on the opening act for big bands. That'll always help you. That's
don't
the best
be a rock advice. Star.
And don't be a rock star. Yeah.
There's a lot more to that.
Yeah.
Than it seems at first, too.
That's right.
There's one other thing I want to ask here. Where did the name Blasters come from?
I thought of it. It comes from Jimmy McCracklin and the Blues Blasters, and I made a mistake and used to think Joe Turner was the Blues Blasters long ago when we used to back Joe Turner up. So we were the Blues Blasters a couple of times, mm-hmm. and we backed him up. And we were sitting around thinking of names. We'd have a different name every gig we'd play.
Like Cool Filter and his Kings, and Bozo Heffner and his Playboy Clowns.
And, you know, gag names. And then there were serious names under consideration. We never even really tried them out.
Like the Tonys.
Yeah. Four cute guys
from down.
But then, so we picked the Blasters one night and we used it, and the effect of the name, I mean, it was a great name, it's a harsh name, it comes out, it makes you look at it.
It's a good name to scream, Blasters!
that's one of the things, was it was a good screaming name, and we just kept
stuck
it.
With it.
I mean, it was the thing that we could best feel comfortable with.
I've always liked the name because it also describes a lifestyle to some degree.
I mean, it does. It does that whole thing.
If you could see us right now, ladies and gentlemen, the day after we played the whiskey, we'd look pretty
plastic. It did that. When you look at a Jimmy McCracklin record, it says, hey, there's a record, the Blues Blasters Boogie by the Blues Blasters. You read it, mind the blue, black, blue. It says all this.
Want to thank you for stopping by with us.
Hey.
Good luck when you go back out here in the real world on the tour as that continues across the country again.
Yep. Yeah, we'll be back around Christmas time.
Back around Christmas time, we'll be looking for you.
All right, buy the record,
thanks a
please.
Lot.
Thank
Hope you,
you
enjoy it.
Bye, Ellie.
night.
This is a song from the Blasters' new album here in the KLOS Local Music Show. I want to thank the guys for stopping by. We had a great time on that. And if you ever have a chance to see the Blasters, I strongly suggest it. They're voted the top local band by Music Connection magazine readers and subscribers and local rock critics and all that stuff last year, and they well deserved it. Very hot band live. This is Benson with you.